My first 3 years of priesthood I spent as an associate pastor in Brainerd, Minnesota, under the guidance and authority of the pastor, Father Anthony Robleski. And over the course of that 3 years, I learned a lot from him about what it means to be a priest and how to carry out day-to-day priestly life and ministry. And I was blessed to become very good friends with him as well. One of the activities that we would often do together was to go for walks. Especially in the spring or in the summer, we would go for a walk around town to get some exercise. And I really enjoyed those walks because they were the perfect opportunity for me to kind of have Father Tony to myself and to learn from him by having time to ask him questions about the priesthood and seek his counsel and advice and learn from his priestly wisdom. I learned a lot about priesthood on those walks around Brainerd with Father Tony. Of course, going for a walk is a beautifully simple activity that is often very meaningful for people. Because going for a walk with someone can be a real bonding experience. Think, for example, of married couples going for a walk together, or family members, friends who have not seen each other for a while, maybe even simple acquaintances. It provides an opportunity to enjoy God's creation together, to talk about matters serious or light, and just to be with another person and enjoy their friendship. Today's gospel, as we heard, is all about a walk. Two of Jesus' disciples on Easter Sunday afternoon are walking to Emmaus, which is 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as we heard, Jesus himself draws near and begins to walk and to talk with them. And you know, as I reflected on this gospel story over this past week, it really struck me how the situation that we are in as a society and as a church right now is kind of a close parallel to what happened on the road to Emmaus. Let me explain what I mean. As we heard, these two disciples, they are incredibly conflicted, right? They're not just casually talking as they're walking. St. Luke tells us that they were debating. They're mixed up, confused, uncertain about what has happened in the last 3 days. Because they suffered the pain of watching their teacher and Lord being crucified and buried, only to be told that morning what seems to be wild and far-fetched stories about his being alive and risen from the dead. So there's a glimmer of hope, but they're also very skeptical. Can it really be that God worked this miracle? You can almost hear them thinking to themselves, well, we already had our hopes dashed once before when Jesus was killed. Do we really want to risk our heart, our emotions, on believing that he's risen from the dead only to find out that it might not be true? And as we heard, after patiently listening to them describe what had happened in the past few days and listening to them describe through their own emotions and their struggles, Jesus encourages them to see that what has happened was all part of God's wonderful plan of salvation. And then he walks with them and explains to them how God had been preparing for this moment throughout the centuries of the prophets and the Old Testament covenant and law. And then that evening at supper, when Jesus celebrates the Eucharist with these two disciples, they finally recognize Jesus for who he is, that it is the Lord. He is risen indeed. And so, my friends, I think we could say in a certain sense that we are on that road right now. If that dining room in Emmaus, where Jesus celebrated the Eucharist with those two disciples, could be seen as a symbol for us of church and the Holy Mass, then we are on that road. We're not there yet, right? Public masses have not been opened back up to the Catholic faithful yet due to the continued presence of the coronavirus. But we are on that road to that wonderful day when we will be able to celebrate Mass together once again and receive the Lord Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, recognizing once again his power and his loving presence. But as I said, we're not there quite yet. And as we walk that way back to the full celebration of our faith, I think it would be right to say that we are probably facing both hope and doubt, expectation and anxiety, faith and uncertainty. The spread of this virus and the sickness and death it has wrought has been difficult enough for us to bear. But added to that has been the loneliness and anxiety and uncertainty and difficulty prompted by the need for us to limit activity both in the church and in society. Schools have been shut down. Many businesses have been closed. Much time has been spent at home. And we've experienced a whole turning upside down of life as we knew it. All of this can cause a lot of inner turmoil. I know that it has for me. Wondering when and how and if things will ever get back to normal. Looking forward in hope to the day when I will be able to gather again with my parishioners and celebrate Mass with them, and hoping to stay healthy myself and that my parishioners and family will too. Being concerned over the economic impact and struggle that the steps taken to combat this spread of the virus are having in people's lives. And I would imagine that many of us are feeling that right now. I sometimes feel conflicted internally, right? Debating with myself, wanting to be hopeful, but concerned about how things are right now. So in some ways, I am like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. But my friends, I think that we are similar to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, not just in regards to their inner turmoil, their wrestling with themselves, but also in another very important way, even more important. We're similar also in what action God takes to remedy that turmoil. Jesus himself, the God of the entire universe, makes the time to walk up beside these two disciples and enter into their world. First, he asks them what they're talking about. And then he listens to them. He lets them vent and share their frustrations and worries. And then Jesus gently challenges them to look to the truth of God's holy word, the truth of the Bible, the truth of the promises that God has made to them through their ancestors. And he encourages them to have faith. And Jesus doesn't just promise them that God will be with them. In Jesus, God is with them, walking with them, accompanying them on their journey and nourishing their souls on their way to their destination by teaching them about the scriptures and sharing his love and compassion with them. And my friends, I wish to tell you this morning that Jesus does the same for us, for you, right here, right now, today. We don't have to wait until things are back to normal, until we are back at church or back at work or back to our everyday activities in order to know God's loving presence and peace in our lives. Jesus is here. He's there with you, friends, in your homes and in your hearts, desiring to come right up to you and say, "Let's go for a walk. Tell me what's bothering you. Tell me what frightens you, what frustrates you, what your hopes and dreams are. And then let me tell you about how I have always been with you and how I am with you now and that how I will always be with you." Jesus is profoundly close to you right now, my friends. He knows that you can't come to him at church, so he comes to you instead to reassure you that it will be okay, to encourage you to know that God is in control, to refresh your weary souls with his loving presence, and to tell you about how all of this, in some strange way, in some mysterious way, all of what we're experiencing will be worked for good by our loving God. Jesus walks with us through these challenging and uncertain times, my friends. So let us do the best we can to trust the risen Lord Jesus, that he is everything that we could want or need, and that he will walk with us, not just through this health crisis that we're experiencing now, but through our whole lives if we let him, accompanying us all the way home to the eternal banquet feast of heaven.